This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 13 of our series, The Women, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just a reminder that inshallah tomorrow would be the day of Ashura. It is the 10th of Muharram, and as we know, this is perhaps the holiest, one of the holiest days of the year to fast. That the Prophet ﷺ, he made the most effort to fast this day after the month of Ramadan, and the reward for it is to, of course, receive an entire year of sins of being forgiven. So all the sins that were done in the last 12 months, inshallah, we hope, will be expiated with this fasting. So I encourage myself and you to exert yourself to fast the day of Ashura. And of course, if you do so, then the sunnah as well is to fast the day before it, the 9th, or the day after it, the 11th. And we keep the entire ummah in our du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and accept from us our fasting. Ameen. We get back to our series where we're talking about Aisha radiallahu anha, and we spend the last couple of episodes talking about the beautiful relationship between the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha, and this deep affection and bond. And we even ended off with the last hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked, well, who do you love the most, Ya Rasulullah? He said, Aisha. Right? Aisha is the one I love the most. And this opens up a kind of a controversial question. Was the Prophet ﷺ unfair when it came to Aisha? Because we know in our Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires for a man who marries multiple wives, a man who is polygamous, and inshallah we'll talk about polygamy as well this evening, he is required to be fair and just between his wives. Was this unfair of the Prophet ﷺ in the way he treated Aisha? So let's look at the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the interaction between multiple wives. In this ayah I'm going to speak about, it's going to talk about polygamy and how to interact with those multiple wives. So in Surah Nisa, and in this surah, Surah Nisa actually means the surah of the women, Allah dedicated at least, I mean, this one surah solely for the upliftment to enshrine the rights of women, orphans, children, in a time, and again, you have to put yourself 1,400 years ago in Arabia, where women were bought and sold, they were buried alive, they were inherited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down laws that enshrined her rights and her dignity. And in fact, Allah called the surah, Surah Nisa, because of how women were treated. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, Surah Nisa, surah number 4, verse number 3, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِتُوا فِي الْيَتَامَ فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are fearful that you will not deal justly with the orphan girls, then marry any other woman that you want. Two of them, three of them, four of them. فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. But if you can't be fair between multiple wives, فَوَاحِدَةً, then only marry one. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ, or one of those whom your right hand possesses. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. That is more suitable with Allah that you do not incline to injustice. This is a favorite ayah of our brothers that promote polygamy, those polygamous brothers amongst us. And I think for purely disclosure purposes, for full disclosure, I must mention that polygamy is something which I cannot speak about. Alhamdulillah, I only have one wife, and I intend to, inshallah, keep it that way until Jannah, Ameen. I always mention to the brothers in nikah that, you know, you want to do it right the first time. You want to do it once, do it right properly. You don't have to do it again, and you do it once, and inshallah, you know, all the way up until Qiyamah, that Ameen. So, our polygamous brothers like to mention this verse, and they say, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, marry two and three and four women, right? Understand what this ayah is all about. Yes, this ayah does permit polygamy, and it is part of our Sharia, and it is a permissibility, but this ayah in its essence is about justice. Why did this ayah get revealed? So, back in the day, you didn't have orphanages. And may Allah protect our kids. May we live long enough to raise our kids to be completely independent of us one day. Ameen. But back in the day, we didn't have orphanages. So what would happen is when parents would pass away, their wealth and their kids would be looked after by a trustee. So a man would, for example, take in these orphan children, and sometimes those orphan children were wealthy. They had money from their parents, so he would take that wealth and he would hold it until the children were old enough to receive the money themselves. So what happened, there was a man who, you know, was looking after an orphan girl, and he had a huge amount of money, a fortune really, of hers. And as she was about to get old enough to inherit this money on her own, he decided to marry her, so that he could keep her, and really not her, he wanted her wealth. So he keep the wealth for himself. Of course, this is unjust. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, and Allah says that if you fear that you will not deal justly with the orphan girl, then don't marry her. So it is very, very bad for someone who looks after orphans to then go about and marry those children, because there's such a huge room for abuse. Abuse of power. So Allah says, don't marry this orphan girl that you're looking after. Don't marry her. Marry any other woman. Allah is basically saying, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Not if you're not happy with one, then marry two, or three, or four. But then Allah also says, but if you marry multiple women, if you cannot be just and fair between them, then only marry one. And this is better for you, that you do not incline to justice. Meaning, it is safer for you to marry one, because you won't be unjust. So this verse is not, it mentions polygamy, but in reality is about justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that be just, that you have to be just. That to marry an orphan girl and be unjust is the height of to be unjust. Then to marry multiple women, if you are unjust, then only marry one. And if you can't be just to one wife, then one of the slave women. And if you can't be just to her, then you have to fast. So this verse is a beautiful verse, and it also must be understood that at the time this verse came, there was no limit on polygamy. Men married multiple women. They married more than 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. And when this verse came down, actually it restricted the men of Arabia that you only allowed 4. 4 is the maximum. That's the cap. You can't go beyond that. So this actually was a new kind of law, revolutionary in its time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further in the surah, in Surah Nisa, verse 129, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then further goes on to say, وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ خَرَسْتُمْ. That Allah says, you will never ever be able to be fully, fully just and fair and equal between multiple wives, even if you tried very hard, even if it was your best intention to be fair, you still will not be 100% fair. فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّقَةِ. So don't then go to an extreme. So while you won't be able to fully be just to all of them, don't be extreme and leave one of them hanging. Mu'allaqa is a beautiful word. Mu'allaqa is something that is attached or is hanging, leaving her to be unsure. Does he love me? Doesn't he care about me? Where do I stand? To leave her in that kind of suspense. وَإِن تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. But if you reform yourself, وَتَتَّقُوا, and fear and be conscious of Allah, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive and have mercy on you, but you need to fix yourself. So in the one verse, Allah is saying in ayah number 3 of Surah Nisa, Allah is saying that if you can't be fair between multiple wives, then only marry one. Then in ayah 129, Allah says that you will never ever be totally fair. So how do we understand this? What does it mean? And we understand this from a beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet would make this dua for himself regularly. And it's reported in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and other places. He would say, oh Allah, this is my division. This is my distribution regarding the things I have control over. So don't reprimand me. Don't be angry with me with regards to the things that you control and I don't control. What is the Prophet saying? The Prophet is saying, when it comes to dividing my time, dividing my money, dividing my other resources, dividing my attention, I do it equally. I give each one an equal amount of my time. But that's what I can control. As for matters of the heart, that I can't control. And therefore what we find is that the matters of the heart is fluctuating. Today, you know, if we look at parents, for example, we love all our kids equally. But today, today the one child might be very difficult today. And tomorrow, that child is again the best one. One child might do well in school and is your favorite in quotation marks. I mean, that one is the one that's bringing you the most happiness. Tomorrow, that same child is the one that's giving you the most headaches. And that's the same, of course, for those in a polygamous marriage. And again, I say I'm not speaking from experience here, but what you understand is, obviously today, Sulaiman and Sumayya are arguing, and you know, they might be very angry with one another. They're not speaking to each other. Yet Sulaiman and his second wife Aisha are getting on wonderfully. Then tomorrow the tables have turned, and then Sumayya is the favorite. So the Prophet is saying, Ya Allah, when it comes to the things I can control, I've done everything I could to be fair. But for the matters of the heart, you control my heart, so don't hold me accountable for that. And as for the men that are that have taken more than one wife, understand that, yes, on the one end, if you can be fair and just and look after multiple women, then there's a great reward in that. But it comes at a bigger risk as well. We know that it is one of the major sins to favor one woman, one of your wives, over the other, and to make the one feel inferior, and to make the one feel lesser, deliberately, in terms of your time distribution, your wealth distribution. This is problematic. And there's even a hadith that mentions how a man who does this will be resurrected on Qiyamah, lame and paralyzed on one side, meaning he inclined to one side. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him like that. That on the one side he was a wonderful husband, on the other side he was a terrible husband, and therefore this is how he would feel. Also, it must be understood, the only reason why we know and these tender, soft moments between the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha is because Aisha would mention these moments. The Prophet ﷺ, he was an affectionate man by nature. And with all of his wives, you would find even other hadith, Salama will mention how they would, you know, be wrapped together in one blanket. Hafsa would mention how he was patient with her, even though, you know, sometimes she gave him a hard time. All of the wives, they mention how happy he made them. Aisha, of course, went into detail because she was not afraid to narrate these hadith. So she would tell, and she would be a teacher. She would teach Islamic theology, Islamic law, Islamic history. She would mention all these things to her students. She even mentions her private, intimate details with the Prophet ﷺ, because everything of his life is, of course, part of our deen, part of his sunnah. So we shouldn't think that this was only the case with Aisha. In fact, this was how he was with all of them. The other wives just kept it to themselves, whereas Aisha had the courage to actually share these things with the rest of the ummah. And as we said, for every moment he spent with Aisha, he spent an equal amount of time with the other wives. Whichever, every time he was on a journey with Aisha, of course it was fair, he gave each one an equal opportunity to join him. So these tender moments were with Aisha and with his other wives, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It must also be understood that I now understand that polygamy is one of those controversial issues in our modern day and age. It's one of those things that we find difficult to explain. It's not the norm, especially for us here in the West. It's not something which is common, and especially here in Cape Town, alhamdulillah, we are a society that is very much, you know, dominated by very strong women. And only the bravest of us dare to tread that line to take on multiple wives. And it's not something, though, that we should become, you know, apologetic or become very fanatical about. Understand, what is the Sharia saying? The Sharia, as I said, is pragmatic. The Sharia says you can marry, you can be single if you want to stay single, although it is better for you to get married. To marry one or two or three or four, that is your prerogative as a man. You must decide what is best for your dunya, what is best for your akhirah. It is not to say that if you marry more than one, it is better for you. It could be worse for you. Marrying multiple wives would actually be the reason you go to Jahannam, or it could be the reason you go to Jannah. Marrying one woman and treating her badly might be bad for you. It's better for you to be single. So the reality is, nikah is always something subjective. You look at your situation and you ask yourself, am I ready? Am I capable of marrying one? Am I capable of marrying two? Can I do it properly? If I can, then go ahead. And if not, then of course you must do what is just. Ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge us in terms of how just we are. So the issue of polygamy is one of those things the Sharia permits but does not enforce on anyone. Also, I must mention on this, we find sometimes that brothers tend to blackmail the sisters. They will say, you know what, if you don't like polygamy, if you don't want me to marry a second wife, there's something wrong with you. You're questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if though you don't like salah, you don't like one of the essentials of the deen. This is not the case. And this is very wrong. And in fact, it's using the ayat of Allah incorrectly. None of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ ever wanted him to marry more than one wife. We find many narrations where Aisha radiallahu anha would be very nervous about women that would approach the Prophet ﷺ, because the Prophet ﷺ, he was being proposed to constantly. You would find women would come and they would say, Ya Rasulullah, I give myself to you, marry me. You find many hadith like this. And Aisha would be very, offended by these kind of women. So, and of course, when she would hear that he married, you know, you'd find when he married Salama, we'll talk about that inshallah in a few days' time. When he married her, she was very upset. She was very sad at that. And that's just a normal thing for a woman to encourage her husband to marry a second wife. It's not the norm. And therefore, for a woman to feel sad about it, this is how it is. It's the natural fitrah. And also something to take very careful note of. The daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, they were never ever shared. They never had to share a husband. Their husbands never married second wives. Why? Out of honor and respect for them, because they're the daughters of the Rasulullah ﷺ. So you find, for example, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu married Fatima radiallahu anhu, the youngest daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. And Sayyidina Ali was thinking about marrying a second wife. And when the news came that he's thinking of marrying a second wife, in particular, he wanted to marry Abu Lahab's daughter, who was at that point, a staunch enemy of Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ spoke to Sayyidina Ali, and he said that it is impossible that the daughter of the Rasul and the daughter of the enemy of Allah will live under the same house. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said to Sayyidina Ali, remember, if you do anything to upset Fatima, it upsets me, I'm her father. Naturally, I'll be upset. And if you upset me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes upset with you. And if Allah is upset with you, then basically, you're destroyed. So, the son-in-laws of the Prophet ﷺ understood that when it came to their wives, it's not haram, they're allowed to marry. The Prophet ﷺ could never make haram what Allah has made halal. But they understood the risk of marrying a second wife and harming and hurting the feelings of the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ would put them in bad books for the Prophet ﷺ. So they never did that. Only after Fatima passed away, only after Kulthum had passed away, then Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, they would marry multiple wives, more than one. So this then became, their practice. So what we see here, it is nothing wrong for a wife, for example, not to want a husband to marry a second wife. It's perfectly normal. It's perfectly human. That's exactly what the Sahabiyyah were like. And even the men of the Sahaba, they understood if they married a certain woman, then in honor of her, that they only married that one woman. But yes, the Sharia does allow polygamy for our men up to the limit of four, if they can be fair and just. The question one might ask, sometimes we think for every permissibility for the man, there must be an equal permissibility for the sisters. So is the Sharia not unfair in that it allows men to marry multiple wives, but women can only marry one husband? How is that fair? Firstly, I don't think there's a sister that I have met that is really serious about marrying more than one husband. Perhaps it's just a philosophical discussion, why do they get to but not us? But I don't think in reality I found a sister that says, I have two men that I really want to marry, what do I do? I don't think we have a situation like that. One is more than enough for them, more than they would want actually sometimes. But in the case of more than one husband, think about this, 1,400 years ago, who would be the father if any child were to be born from this woman? She has two husbands, three husbands. Who's the father of this child? So paternity would become something completely ruined in a society like that. And of course, therefore, the Sharia has made this haram. And if you look at many cultures, polygamy permitted in many tribes and cultures across the world. It was actually the norm. Up until recent times, polygamy was something that was a normal part of society. And most of the time, as we said, there were no limits to polygamy. The Sharia actually limits it. And I remember how Ahmadidat rahimullah would say, there's no religious text on earth that says, if you are unfair to multiple wives, then only stick to one. So this is a beautiful thing of the Sharia. The last very controversial question must be said, that the Prophet ﷺ exceeded the limit of four. So he didn't only marry four, he actually had more than four wives at one time. When he passed away, ﷺ, he actually had nine. So how is this possible, and why did the laws not apply to him? That's another question, and I think we'll discuss that perhaps on our next lecture, but it will come up as we go through the series. Jazakallah khair. And once again, if you receive these lectures in error, or you're receiving it from multiple sources, then please let us know so that we don't want to bombard you and, you know, flood your inbox with these lectures. And if you have any questions, concerns, anything that you'd like further clarity, any suggestions, then email me directly, westmuhammad@gmail.com. Also, if you have a question of a personal nature, contact me via my email rather than on the WhatsApp line. The WhatsApp line, of course, is a public number. It's the number of the masjid. So email me if you have any personal, private questions. Thank you so much. Until we meet again, JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.